Oh, today there's victory in your life. As you remember Palm Sunday, I decree and declare that you are a victor and not a victim. In the name of... Hallelujah. Thank you so much. The worship team, God bless you. I wanted us to sing this song because it's in line with what I want to preach with us, to us. Hallelujah. And so can you kindly take your seats in heavenly places? Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, I want to take this opportunity to say a very big thank you to Almighty God. Man may be mighty, but He's Almighty. And so I want to thank the Almighty God for this opportunity. Hallelujah. And this morning, I want to say thank you to Reverend Dr. Steve Mensah, our father, the general overseer of this great house. Let's celebrate him. Oh, let's celebrate him together with Mama Jane. God bless you. Hallelujah. I also want to acknowledge and honor the personality of Reverend Stanley Mensah together with Mama Martha, who is here with us. God bless you all for your love, your encouragement, your support, and all the opportunities. Hallelujah. Amen. The apostle is also in the house. Help me to celebrate our apostle, the only apostle in CEM. God bless you, Pastor Mike, for everything. Amen. Let me also celebrate my brother, Reverend John Cato, the resident pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. You were awesome 3 weeks ago. Pastor Mike was awesome last week. God bless you all. Amen. And let me also acknowledge all senior ministers, pastors of CEM. God bless you for your support. Every senior minister, Pastor Lasha, Pastor Luchu, you know, everybody, you are blessed. Now, you are the special one. Put your hands together for yourself. Because without you, we have no pulpit. Without you, our preaching will be with us. Amen. We'll not be able to. In fact, we'll preach to ourselves. We'll be tired. Hallelujah. And of course, the last, but not the least, my lovely wife and daughter. Amen. My little girl, this morning, I had a serious time with her. She said she wants to help me to wear my socks. Then when I went to tie my shoe, he said, no, I will do it. God bless you so much. Amen. And this morning, I'm excited to share an encouraging message to us. Amen. Very soon, you know, we are entering into the Easter season. And as I was meditating, God said I should preach something on the love of God. Amen. Love. And so this morning, I'm believing God that you'll be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. And let me start by reading my introductory scripture, which is taken from Jude chapter 1, verse 21. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking unto the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto eternal life. Hallelujah. That is a powerful scripture. I was saying that, look, we now live in a society and a world where everyone is looking for his or her own good or interest. We live in a society where fellow feeling is diminishing. We live in a society that few people would like to sacrifice for others. We live in a society where the burden of one is no more the burden of all. We live in a society where envy, jealousy, pride, self-ambition, hedonism, self-indulgence, self-gratification has eaten up the love in our hearts we have for each other. The love we are supposed to have for each other, it has eaten it up. Because of jealousy, because of envy, because of self-ambition, we do not think about the other person. And I was saying that we have come to a point where it is becoming difficult for you to depend on your relationships for happiness. To depend on human beings for happiness. Forget it. If you want to depend on human beings, depend on the systems, forget it. But our God, who is a wise God, gives us a perfect way by which we can live a happy life. And this morning, it is in the scripture that I just read. Say, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking unto the mercies of God unto eternity. Mercy and the love of God are the two lifelines for a happy life here whilst we journey towards eternity. Mercy and love. Hallelujah. We live in society, we live amongst people, but it will come to a time you may be living amongst people, but you become a loner. Yes, because everybody, because of materialism, everybody is focused on personal interest. And because of that, you cannot depend on anybody to be happy in this world except the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And so how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? And so this morning I submit to you the four dimensions of that by which we can keep ourselves in the love of God. The four dimensions of love. If we want to be happy in this world, then you must learn to operate, to keep yourself in these four dimensions of love. Hallelujah. And number one dimension of love is God's love for you. God's love for you. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, reading verse 17 to 19. The book of Ephesians chapter 3, reading from what? 17 to 19. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge, so that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. Look, if you don't get to a point where you are rooted in God's love, so that you get to understand the kind of love for you, hallelujah, you may not be able to experience all the fullness of God, the blessings, the things that will make you happy. And so Apostle Paul writing was saying that, look, it is my prayer that you will be rooted in the love of God and grounded, so that you will know what is the breadth. There's this song that says that God's love is so wonderful, God's love is so wonderful, God's love is so wonderful, oh wonderful love, is so high that you can't get over it, is so low you can't get under it, is so wide you can't get around it, oh wonderful. God's love is deep. I said, God's love is deep. And that is why God wants us to understand and appreciate his love for us. When we appreciate the love of God, there is nothing in this world that will shake us. There is nothing. Your happiness is dependent on your ability to receive and respond to the love that God has for you. Hallelujah. Number one, I want you to know that the significant relationships in your life may fail you in love, but God will never fail you. The people around you may fail you in love. Your husband, your wife may fail you in love. Your pastor can even fail you in love. The church can fail you. Your employer can fail you. But one thing I know about the love of God is that God's love will never fail you. And this morning I came to tell somebody, it does not matter how you feel, God still loves you. Isaiah 49 verse 15 and 16, it says, can a mother forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion over the son of her womb? Though they may forget, yet I will not forget you. I have engraven you upon the palms of my hand, and your walls, or thy walls, are continually before me. Hallelujah. Your mother who carried you for 9 months and went through so much may fail you in love, but God will not fail you. Your husband, your wife, may wake up one morning and say, honey, the love is gone. I have gone to see my lawyers and we have initiated divorce process. I don't love you anymore. But I came to tell you, your husband may not love you again. Your wife may love you, not love you again. But I came to tell you, God loves you. The love God has for you is deep. He is deep. Hallelujah. You may be seated here. I may be talking to somebody who is going through so much affliction to the point that you think God has forsaken you. God does not love you. But I came to tell you, it does not matter the magnitude of your affliction. God still loves you. He loves you. The Bible says in Psalm 34 verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many are the affliction. It may be for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, but God will surely deliver you. God will surely deliver you. Affliction doesn't mean that God has stopped loving you. He is with you. I was saying that, look, if it were to be some of us who went through Joseph's situation, would have concluded that God has stopped loving me. His love is gone. Because you know what Joseph went through. And the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 7, reading the verse 9 and 10, it says, and the patriarch moved with envy, sold him into Egypt, but God was with him. They sold him into Egypt, but God was with him. And God delivered him from all his afflictions and gave him favor in the sight of the king, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and made him a governor over Egypt and over all his house. The love of God. Though Joseph was going through that, but the love of God, the love of God was so deep that God was behind him. He looked as if he was a distant God, but he was closer. You may be feeling like God has forgotten you, but I came to tell you this morning that God is in your boat. His love is deep for you. Hallelujah. You may be seated here this morning and you feel that you have messed up in your relationship with God, and therefore God has stopped loving you. You are trying to run away. You are trying to hide yourself. But I came to tell you that God is still looking for you. God is still looking for somebody. God is saying that, you know, where is this my daughter? It does not matter how you have messed yourself. I am here for you. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 13, reading verse 8 and 9, and when Adam and, you know, his wife disobeyed God, messed up big time, and God now decided to visit them. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, and they heard the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day walking in the garden. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees in the garden. And God called unto Adam and said, Adam, where are you? Where are thou? They had messed up, but God was still looking for them. They had messed up, but God was still looking for them. It does not matter how your life is. God is interested in you. God's love for you is permanent. I came to encourage somebody that the love of God is deep. And continue to hold on to the love of God. No matter what, continue to hold on to God. Because God will never forsake you. I came to tell somebody this morning, maybe you have been believing God for a certain miracle and the miracle is not coming. It does not mean God has stopped loving you. That is why the miracle is not coming. People are giving testimonies about what God is doing in their lives, but for you, no testimony. You have been believing God for a single miracle and it is not coming. You get to a point in your life, you feel that God has forsaken you. But I came to announce to you that it does not matter how long it takes. God's love is still for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 5 verse 5 about the impotent man. The Bible says he was lying down there for 38 years believing God for a miracle. But God's love was still for him. God's love is deep. Amen. It does not matter what you're going through, God is with you. God is with you. People may, you know, stop loving you, but my God will not stop loving you. affliction may have battered you left and right, but God is still loving you. In the name of Jesus, I came to declare this morning that what you must know as a child of God is that God's love for you is everlasting. Everlasting love. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, it says, the Lord has appeared unto me of old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with my loving kindness have I drawn thee. God drew you from the well, from your situation with an everlasting love. And therefore, it does not matter what happened. God will never forget you. He told the children of Israel, I have an everlasting love for you. Despite the fact that they will defect and go and worship another God, God will give them up to captivity, but God will still go and fight for them and deliver them. That is the kind of love. I want you to understand that God's love for you is unconditional. It's unconditional. It says, God commends his love towards us, that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whilst we were in our mess, God died for us. What did you pay to be saved? Nothing. And therefore, God cannot afford but to be permanent in his love for you. It is a covenant love, and God is committed to this covenant of love. This covenant is committed. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that God's love for you is sacrificial. In John chapter 15 verse 13, it says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus loved you so much that he had to lay his life for you. I want you to understand that God will not forsake you nor leave you. According to Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 and 8, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said that I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say, God is my helper, who can I be afraid of? God will never leave you. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that God wants you to hold on to it. It does not matter what is happening in your life. God wants you to extend your heart and receive the love that he has for you. He does not want you to allow anything to separate him from the love of God. Romans chapter 8, reading from 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is it tribulation or distress? Hallelujah. Is it persecution or famine? Is it nakedness or peril or sword? It says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. Hallelujah. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And he said, nay, through all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And he said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither principalities nor things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth, neither any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Let nothing separate you from the love of Christ. It does not matter what you're going through. Somebody may decide that I don't love you anymore. Tell the person that God loves me. If your husband says that I don't love you anymore, extend your hand. Respond to the love of Christ. Amen. It does not matter. God loves you. The love of God, the first dimension is the love of God. And when you understand the love of God and you are rooted in the love of God, it will transition you to the next dimension. The next dimension is your love for God. Your love for God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you understand God's love, the best thing you can do is to love him back. Love him back. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John chapter 14, reading verse 15, 21 to 24. It says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. He that has my commandment and keepeth them, they say, he it is who loves me. And he that loves me, I will love him. My Father will love him, and I'll love him Hallelujah. And manifest myself unto him. He that loveth me, he it is that loves me. And my Father will love him, and I will love him and manifest myself. Our year of manifestation. If you want to see the manifestation of God, then commit yourself in loving God. Hallelujah. And Judas asked, not Iscariot, Lord, why is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus said, if any man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we'll make our abode with him. For he that loveth me not, keepeth not my commandment. Look at the blessings. He that loveth me, my Father will love him, and I will also love him. And I will manifest myself unto him. And he says that, look, we will come together unto you, divine visitation. May you receive divine visitation because you love the Lord. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Who would not love it for God to make his abode with you? It means that God is living with you. Permanent presence. Permanent presence. Receive the permanent presence of Jehovah in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Look, if you want to know somebody who loves God, look out for somebody who keeps his commandment. Yes. Because he that has my commandment and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Do we keep the commandments of God? There are a lot of us who don't love God. Why? Because we don't keep his commandment. And his commandment is found in the Ten Commandments. Whether you like it or not, you may say that it's in the Old Testament. But the Ten Commandments are relevant unto every generation. And when Jesus came, Jesus summarized it into two laws. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 10, verse 30 and 31. That you may love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, thou shalt love thyself as your neighbor. The Ten Commandments is in two. Loving our God and loving our neighbor. And Jesus summarized it. So you cannot tell me that the Ten Commandments, and you know, I can pick somebody here and ask you to just mention the Ten Commandments and you will see what will happen here. Yes. That you shall not have any other God beside me. You shall not worship, make any craving image and worship them. You shall observe the Sabbath. You shall not take the name of your Lord in vain. You shall love your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You know, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not covet that which is thy neighbor. And you shall not bear false witness against any. This is the summary of the Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. Keep my commandments. If you keep these commandments, society will be better. If all of us will keep the commandments of the Lord, society will be better for us. He that loves me. When you read Psalm 91, verse 14 and 15, it says, because he has set his love for me, I will set him on high. Because he has known my name, I will deliver him. He shall call unto me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. This is the blessing of those who love God. If you love God, he said he will set you on high. What are you doing in life? He will set you on high. He will set you on high. We all know the popular verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For all things work together for those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. Do you love God? If you love God, you are likely to receive a double fold of his love. It says, I'll love him. Christ will love you. We will come to you. and we'll make our abode. Hallelujah. We'll make our abode. Commit yourself that from this Easter, you are going to love the Lord. It is difficult in life at times, but you know what? The advantage we have is grace. We must leverage on grace to grow out of all those things that have become impediments in our relationship. Leverage on grace. By grace, we are supposed to grow from grace to grace, from grace to grace, until such things have no power over us. Hallelujah. God wants you to, one of the things that God wants you to do is to love Him back. And to keep yourself in the love of God, you must keep yourself through fellowship, through confession, through prayer. Hallelujah. That is one of the ways you can keep yourself. According to 1 John chapter 1, reading verse 7 to 9, it says, but if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one to another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. As you walk in the light, as you walk in the truth, as you have fellowship, you come to church, you keep on coming to church, automatically the blood of Jesus washes you. But as you progress, grace becomes stronger and stronger. And before long, you live above that which is darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. Confess your sins. The reason why Christ came, He came to be a solution to sin. Amen. And He did it on Calvary for us. But He continues to take care of our sins if we only confess our sins unto Him. Keep on confessing. Keep on coming to church and tell God that, God, you know what? I will not leave you. Though it looks as if your love is gone, but I'm holding on to you. I am coming to church. I am giving you a call through prayer. And as I do that, I'm keeping myself in the love of God. Hallelujah. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Receive God's love. And then love God back. And when you love God, it transitions you to the next dimension of love, which is self-love. Self-love. Hallelujah. God never made a mistake in creating any human being. God took His time and designed all of us. God is the God of beauty. So He created all of us beautifully. God has a sense of diversity in beauty. So He created you and I as different shades of beauty. So each one of us is beautiful in the eyes of the beholder. Everyone is beautiful. God created you as an original copy. Original copy. But you know the sad thing? A lot of us are destroying the original copy and we want to live in the carbon copy. Carbon copy. The original copy God created you, you are destroying it. Why is it that somebody will go all his way to alter what God has created? There are a lot of people in the world today who hate themselves. They don't love themselves. They wish they were looking like antimatter. Hallelujah. But you know, some, because they don't love themselves, they go all out. Put your hands together for our mama. Amen. Because people don't love themselves, they will go to the extent of trying to do cosmetic surgeries to change their looks, to change their body parts. And I said in the first service, anyone who attempts to change your sexuality, anyone who attempts to change any part of your body, anyone who attempts to change your skin color, it is gross insult to God. And one day when you meet God, you will have yourself to be questioned. Hallelujah. You were created beautifully. Why is it that you don't like yourself? You don't like your height. You don't like your size. You don't like your voice. You don't appreciate the talents and the gifts God has given you, but you are looking for somebody else's whatever. I like my height. I like my color. I like my height. I like my height. Yes, we are powerful. Hallelujah. Yes. Why don't you love yourself? Self-love means loving who you were created to be and who you are. You must love yourself. Hallelujah. You were created beautifully. And I said, never tell yourself that people don't like me or I don't like myself. But rather tell yourself that nobody is like me. That it should be your phrase. Nobody is like me. Don't ever say people don't like me. I don't like myself. Tell yourself nobody is like me. Because the Bible says in Psalm 139 verse 14, 139 verse 14, it says, I'll praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. Right well. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When you stand before the mirror, tell yourself, I like my nose. I like my color. I like my height. I like my hair. Hallelujah. Self-love. It is somebody who has appreciated the love of God and loves God who will be able to love yourself. Because it's infectious. Love yourself. When you love yourself, you will become confident. And a confident person attracts people. When people see that you are confident, they attract you. When you love yourself, you will accept yourself. And when you accept yourself, people will accept you. Amen. When you love yourself, you will be a happy person in life. And nothing will be able to bring you down. When you are somebody who loves yourself, you will live in good health. Because you are not worrying yourself about so many things. When you love yourself, you have the capacity to love another. And when you love yourself, you are transitioning to the next dimension of love, which is loving others. Loving others. And I came to tell you this morning that, you know what? It is mandatory. When COVID came, they said what? It's mandatory. It is mandatory for us to love one another. Because Jesus came and introduced a new law. And that new law, he says in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, so love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. A new commandment. And the new commandment is that we must love each other. The love of God is gradually going out of the church. That is why I started by my introduction that everybody is in pursuing their own interests and good. Where being each other's keeper is nobody's business. There is no love for one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love towards one another and towards all men as I do towards you. Hallelujah. As I do towards you. The Bible says in John, 1 John chapter 4 verse 11, it says, you know, we ought to love each other as God has loved us. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
We ought to love. It says concerning, you know, brotherly love, I need not to write unto you, because God, you know, has taught us to love ourselves. God has taught us to love ourselves. In fact, there are so many scriptures that talk about loving one another. And this is the problem of the church. We don't love each other. We don't love each other. And that's why there's backbiting. There's envy. There's jealousy. I push my brother to get what I want. I don't care how they feel. As far as I have gotten what I want, it is no more. But I pray in the name of Jesus that love for one another will return to the church. I said from the beginning that Easter is the time that we remember one of the greatest acts of love ever shown to mankind. Jesus showed us that kind of love. This Easter, what are you going to do to express your love unto somebody? Hallelujah. This Easter, number one, express your love, you know, to others by sacrificing for them. Because Jesus came and sacrificed. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has what? Given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice unto God as a sweet smelling savor. So we must walk in love. This season, are you going to walk in love? Just as Christ walked in love. And when I talk about sacrifice, I'm talking about being ready to part with something that is precious and dear to you in order to meet the need of another person. That is sacrifice. Don't worry, I'll be closing soon. Hallelujah. Let us walk in sacrifice. This Easter, what are you ready to part with? That is precious to you. Your money that you have worked for is precious to you because it's your blood. But are you ready to part with some cities to make Easter a happy Easter for somebody? Are you ready to part with something that will cause the deliverance of somebody? Are you ready to go a mile with somebody in order to help? Sacrifice. Hallelujah. Number two way to express our love for each other is to serve one another. Serving one another. Hallelujah. Serving one another. It says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto what? Liberty. Only don't use that liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but in love, serve one another. In love, serve one another. The person you are serving doesn't, it may not be an important person, but serve the person. Society, we always want to serve the big people in society. When they are coming, we are running around. But somebody who is of no reputation, and you go your way to help that person, to serve the person, you are fulfilling the law of Christ. Not wanting anything, not expecting anything in return. Let us serve one another. Even picking a chair for somebody who is of a low status to you is service. It's service. Don't let us only serve those who are important in society. Let's serve one another. Are you ready to attend your sister's wedding and, you know, with all your importance, you are here directing people, you are moving chairs, you are serving the person. Meanwhile, when we compare the two of you, you are higher. But you are there serving. You are serving. Are you ready? And no. And you see, we now live in a society where we live in factions. There's a wedding for a brother, and because he's not in this faction, we will not attend. Serve one another in love. God bless you so much. Auntie Stella, I see her most of the program you will see her there. She's always available. We go for engagement, she's there. We go for this, she is there. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Serve one another. Another way by which we can express our love to others is to forbear them. We live with people who can be annoying. People who can step on your toe and you tell yourself that this person, I will not want to have anything to do with. But the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2, it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, it says we should what? Forbear one another in love. Forbear one another. Stay long with the person. Meanwhile, the person is a thorn in your flesh. The person can be annoying. The person can cause your heart, you know, to leap. But God says we should bear one another in love. Hallelujah. Bear one another. The last thing during this Easter you can do to express your love is to speak to people about the love of Christ. Speak to people about the love of Christ. Your office, your community, let it be your message for this week. Because, look, we live amongst people who behave as if everything is all right. But it's not right. I can tell you that if you have the boldness to go to your boss and tell him, boss, I have something to tell you, and begin to share the love of Christ, he or she will open up to you. Most of times we try to be strong, but deep within there is a vacuum. And most of times, because they are up there, we are afraid. But if you have the boldness to say, Jesus loves you, I want to share a message concerning the love of Christ, they need it. That boss that you think everything is all right, go to the house and see. There's fire. But he comes to office and he has to put up. He cannot sleep in the night, but there's something eating him up. The Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is the message. That is the message. Christ makes a difference. Give your life to Christ and begin to live by the principles of Christ, and you will see a change. Hallelujah. This morning I came to tell you that you have the capacity to receive and to give out love. You have what? The capacity to receive love and to give out love. Why? Because the Bible says in Romans 5:5 that God has shed abroad in our hearts the love of God by the Holy Ghost. Number two, why do you have the capacity to receive and to give out love? The Bible says that you carry the nature of God because you are a born-again person. And so 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. He that is born of God knoweth God. He that is born of God. He that does not love does not know God. For God is what? Love. God is love. You have the capacity to receive the love of God. And when you receive the love of God, it makes you feel that, look, this guy, this man who has given me so much love, I have to love him back. And when your life is full of love, you love yourself. And when you love yourself, it will overflow onto others. This morning, Easter is here. Let's walk in love. Let's keep ourselves in love. And I know that your life will never end. Put your hands together and celebrate Jesus, the love of God. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord.